We're going over to the UK now to speak to Reverend Richard Coles. He's a musician, journalist and Church of England priest. He partnered Jimmy Somerville in the 80s group The Communards, who achieved three top 10 hits, including the number one, Don't Leave Me This Way. In July 2016, he came fifth in Celebrity MasterChef and he took place in last year's Strictly Come Dancing. Tonight, he is hosting the Romantic Novelists Association Awards in London. Good morning, Richard.
Morning, Hannah.
Hi, thanks very much for joining us. So I'm interested to know, when you became a reverend, how did that happen?
Well, I became a reverend 12 years ago, but it was really a sort of return to a point I'd started out from, because like lots of musicians in Britain and also lots of clergy, I started off as a chorister. So I grew up in the sort of mysteries of the Church of England and its music, and eventually I could escape it no longer and I had to submit and put the collar on.
Fantastic. And have you managed to sort of cope well doing that alongside having a TV career?
Well, I'm a sort of hybrid, really, because I'm the vicar of Findon, but it's a half-time post. So I'm half-time vicaring in a very traditional English country parish, and then half-time doing the worst ever Paso Doble in Strictly history on the television on the Saturday evening. So it's a curious double existence. But I like to think the two kind of work in harness with each other.
Yes, definitely. I'm glad you mentioned that. I didn't want to say, but it was the worst, wasn't it? As in terms of scoring.
Well, I think not only in terms of scoring, but any way you wish to kind of reckon it, really. It was very, very poor. It was nice that you did say fifth in MasterChef, and then kindly you didn't mention my placing in Strictly. But it was a very short sojourn, and I think my dance career came to an end under that blonde wig in the Paso Doble.
Did you enjoy it, though, your time on Strictly?
Oh, I loved it. It was just the most fantastic fun. Yeah, it was great.
It looks like it's a great team of people and just such a fun show to do.
Yeah, I was trying to think why I enjoyed it so much, why so many people do. And I think it's because you're allowed to play like you were in childhood.
Mm.
It's kind of playing for adults, but really just such good fun.
It does seem like it's ridiculously hard work, though, in terms of how much you have to learn and in so little time.
Yes. Which was evident in my efforts, I have to say. But no, it wasn't. It's incredibly demanding. I mean, not just actually physically demanding. I knew that would happen. But mentally demanding. Dancing is not easy. And, of course, the people who do it best are the ones who make it look effortless. But it's anything but.
Yes.
And simply just trying to count up to eight was a major battle for me. I could sort of get my feet where they needed to be. But it was getting them into the next bit after that was tricky.
Yeah. Yes, they do make it look easy, don't they? They really do. And about Celebrity MasterChef, do you love cooking? Do you cook a lot at home?
Yeah, I do. I love cooking. So much more secure ground, really, cooking. Although I did get Jimmy Osmond's chicken pot pie that was taught him by Andy Williams, defeated my Queen of Puddings.
Oh, fabulous.
But again, I can't complain. The result was not unjust.
Yes. And what kind of thing were you cooking? Can you remember the meal that you went out on, as it were?
Oh, yes, it was Queen of Puddings. So I don't cook puddings because I don't have a sweet tooth. And so, like an idiot, I thought, well, I'm going to set myself the challenge of cooking a decent pudding. And it was Queen of Puddings, which was my father's favourite pudding, which, as you know, is kind of sponge and jam and meringue and loveliness. And unfortunately, my blowtorch rather charred the meringue rather than give it a lovely golden brown finish. So I produced this kind of smoking, ashy thing from the oven, and I saw Greg and John's faces fall, and I thought, well, that's me going home.
And again, did you enjoy it? Was it a fun show to do?
Yeah, it was just great. I mean, I love learning, and learning alongside other people. And I enjoy the pressure, too. I mean, if someone kept on Strictly, people kept saying it must be terrifying to step out onto a dance floor in front of 12 million people. I absolutely loved every minute of it.
Are you used to it, maybe, with your role in the church then, you know, talking in front of lots of people, that sort of thing?
Yes, I mean, performing, if that's the word, in front of audiences or congregations, that's nothing new to me. I've been doing it all my life. And also, you know, there are worse things than falling flat on your face, actually. I think it's a good thing, once in a while, to reach, even if it's very swiftly, the limits of your competence in something.
Mm. And going back even further then, have to mention your time with Jimmy Somerville in the Communards. Do you look back on those years with fondness?
With fondness, yes, but with sort of partial recollection, partly because being in a pop band is not something which tends to produce lasting memories, if I could put it that way. But partly also because it was 30 years ago, and like most people, I don't really think very much about what I was doing 30 years ago. I'm more likely to be struggling to think what I did 30 minutes ago.
Yes. Does it feel like a different life in a way?
That's a good question. I don't really know. I mean, I wouldn't want to do it now. I couldn't manage it now, I don't think. But I still recognise myself in the person then, although I wouldn't want to go back there either. Mm-hmm. I'm very happy being where I am now.
And when you were there with a number one hit, did it feel like a big deal at the time?
Yes, it did. I mean, it was odd because you're so mobile in a pop band, and we were touring all over the place, so we kept being number one in the place we weren't in at that time, if you see what I mean.
Yes.
So we would sort of find ourselves not turning up at a gig and not knowing whether there would be 2,000 screaming people or 200 bored people, and then eventually it all caught up and you find yourself living the strange life of a pop star.
Yes. So how did it come about that you were hosting the Romantic Novelists Association Awards tonight in London?
Well, I'm a writer myself, and so I kind of have a connection to the world of publishing, and I've always enjoyed the company of writers, who I find to be very stimulating company.
Mm.
And some of the members of the association, indeed some of the winners of the association, are mates of mine, and I was aware of it. Anything which promotes writing and reading is good in my book, well-chosen phrase. And so when they asked me if I'd like to do it, I said, yes, of course. And also anything which kind of stimulates romance and love and joy, I think, is just wonderful.
Yes, definitely. There's some great authors associated with the RNA, isn't there?
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, you have remarkable figures like Barbara Cartland, who could ever forget Dame Barbara, to people like, you know, Philippa Gregory or Jojo Moyes or Erica James, and also shortlisted this year, of course, Matt Haig, which is not a name you would perhaps associate with the stable of authors the Romantic Novelist Association boasts, but he's there with a fascinating book, How to Stop Time.
Yes, it's good, isn't it? Because people might think, you know, romance is just one thing, one subject, but so many different things can fall under that umbrella. You've got paranormal, you've got historical, young adult romance. There's loads of different categories within the umbrella of romance.
Yeah, and I think also another thing, I mean, one thing that we talk about a lot and think about a lot is the way that the sort of traditional roles of men and women are a bit more fluid than they used to be. And I'm sure that's something that's reflected in the way people write, too. So the idea that the romantic novel was the preserve of a fabulously coiffed Dame Barbara type, of course, that no longer stands up, I think. And, of course, the association has never cleaved to stereotypes so easily.
Mm. And can you see yourself writing a romantic novel?
Well, I'd love to, although I suspect that my competence in the field of romance would be about equal to my competence in the field of dance. So it would be rather a clumsy novel. If there was a prize for the kind of least competent romantic person, I might do for that.
Well, you never know. You might be inspired this evening.
Who knows?
Well, I hope it all goes well. Good luck tonight. Thank you ever so much for joining us, Reverend Richard Coles, and
thanks,
hope to speak to you again soon.
Hope so.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.